Mina can do it next week. Last week, you saw me up here. And I tell you, the devil is a liar. Because I preached at Hongdae, and then I had to stay around to wait for Pastor Christian because we were going out to dinner. And I had to sit in the baby room, and I had to watch myself on video preaching. And I was like, man, I am not that fat. Like, it really is. It does. I'm not kidding. There's some demonic cameras, but the camera adds seriously like 20 pounds. Because I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, oh, I mean, I'm not skinny. I'm chubby. But when I saw myself up there, I was like, man, what have I become? You know? And so, you know, I am in the process of working out, but it was such a blessing to preach and just to be. I went and preached on Saturday at Jeremiah Prayer Meeting in Seoul. It's a gathering of our church, and we invite just other churches to come and join us to really pray for the shalom of the city, to see the blessing rise up from the city of wherever the prayer meeting is being held. It was an honor to preach there, and then I preached at Hongdae, and it was broadcasted to a lot of the campuses. But I just want to say that it is a privilege and honor to preach here, because it really is my favorite place to preach. I just feel so blessed and honored to be leading this congregation and to lead this family. I just want to say I love you guys all. And I really missed you guys when I was gone last week. For a long time, the word maturity has been on my mind and my heart. God's been continually placing this word maturity and strength in my heart. And we know that Pastor Marcus and Pastor Aaron, recently they released words about maturity. And last week in the sermon, I mentioned maturity is not like the law of diminishing return. You guys know when I mentioned it that, you know, in business, there's a law of diminishing return. Is that when you put all the resources in, that the what you get back from that resource starts to diminish. Okay, and the increase just gets smaller and smaller and smaller as time goes by. But I believe that the kingdom of God and the maturity and our maturity as believers and a church is like compounding interest. It doesn't diminish. Actually, it gets bigger. So when you earn interest and when we mature, that maturity, we don't use it, but we put it back into this church. You know, some of you guys will become community group leaders. Some of you guys are going to become ministry team leaders. And that maturity and the growth that you have is going to be added back into the church, so that the maturity that comes forth from this church again and from you will be actually greater. And it will continue to grow. The law of compounding interest means that if you just leave your money in the bank for a long period of time, that interest is going to continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger. That interest will never decrease. Well, if you take your money out, yeah, it does. But if you just leave it in there, your money increases. I believe that that's the way the kingdom of God works. The way that he leads us in maturity will always continue to grow. And I was thinking about this, and it brought me to Colossians 1:27, and Paul, he writes, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of his mystery, which is Christ in you, hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. And he's talking about maturity. He's like, present everyone mature in Christ. That was his heart. And when I think about it, you know, physical maturity is chronological. Okay, physical maturity, when you see a grape growing, it just takes time and it will just grow. Okay, Zion is a little baby. I still haven't fully seen his face yet in real life because it's stuck on his mom's chest. But, you know, like, I'm sure he's really small and he's incredibly cute. But all you need to do is just feed him and wait and he'll grow. He'll get to a point where he can destroy your house in 20 minutes. Ethan right now can destroy our house. We came home from Jeju. Our house was spotless. And within like an hour, our house looked like Beirut after a war. It was just like, it was just destroyed. And now he has the power to just have to wait chronologically. Okay. Physical maturity. You just wait and we grow. And there's a time where I grow more this way and like, you know, a little bit more this way. We just mature. Okay. It's physical maturity. Mental, emotional maturity, not so much. And to a certain degree, as you get older, you just become more mentally mature. But if you don't challenge yourself and if you don't face your fears, and you learn to, you know, really go and discover things. You know, you can get stunted in your growth mentally and emotionally. That's the word arrested development. It's a very funny TV show, but it's a way of a life for a lot of people. There's 40-year-old people that are living life like 18-year-olds. And that we see that as just kind of like mental maturity. And although chronologically it grows a little bit, you really have to put into it to grow and mature mentally and emotionally. Now, spiritual maturity is really not chronological. Because if you think about it, a long time being a Christian really doesn't mean a lot unless you put into your walk. Okay? You can be a Christian for 20 years but not doing what you're supposed to do. You're not going to be much more spiritually mature than somebody that just came to Christ. Because spiritual maturity is not based on time. It's really based on what you put into it. I believe that a true born-again believer is led to live a life that leads that person to maturity in Christ, sanctification. Tim Keller talks about Martin Luther's position that we are saved by faith alone, but not by a faith that remains alone. His point is that true gospel belief will always and necessarily lead to good works, but salvation is in no way comes through or because of good works. Faith and works must never be confused for one another, nor may they ever be separated. So it really is true. You can't say like, oh, works will give you faith, because it won't. Or worth will give you, like doing good things will give you salvation. And you have to distinguish those things, but you can't separate it either. Okay, he's saying that if you're really born again, if you're really saved, out from your life will flow good works. You can't separate that. But you have to differentiate it. And I believe that it's similar with maturity. A life with a true personal relationship with Jesus, in effect, will always lead to spiritual maturity. Now, people can backslide and fall into sin, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're not Christians. But if a person is personally following Jesus, like really personally following Jesus, that life will lead to spiritual maturity. And like Apostle Paul, as a pastor, that's my heart for you guys. To present you mature in Christ. To be able to face life, this world, the future, with hope, with maturity, and to finish this race strong. Now, when I look at the word maturity, one aspect is to know more. It's true. You have to know more to be mature. But I see it also in the terms of strength. To be more mature is to be stronger. To be mature is to be able to endure, to have stamina. And strength comes from testing and resistance. You guys know about working out, right? I started working out. Yeah. I really did. I'm not lying. You guys might think I'm lying. For the past 2 months, ever since Mina was in the States, I've been working out. You know it. You see me. For about an hour a day, I go and I run like 20 minutes. Yeah. And then I work on the weights for about, you know, like 30 minutes. And then I run a little bit more and I come back. You know, there's a reasonable goal that I have. Okay? Now, at one time, I was really, really thin. It was not that long ago. Right before we got married, I was like running 10K a day for 5 days a week. Like, I can't do that anymore. And I understand that now. But, you know, I'm trying to just be more healthy. But when you know that first time you work out, it's painful. It really is. I worked out the first time. I felt good. I was like, yeah, I did all these reps. I came back, and I was like, woo! The next morning, I was like, oh, trying to get milk, and I was like, oh! Like, my arms hurt whenever I moved it in any certain direction, right? It's just because when you work out for the first time, it hurts. But as you do more, and as you lift more, and as you continue to press in, what was heavy and what was painful before stops being so. You're able to endure, and you're able to put more weight on it and push more. Running is similar. First time, I ran 1K. When I first started running, 2 weeks ago, I ran 1K and I thought I was going to die. I was like, oh, why did I ever do this? But then as I ran more, and as I continued to go, the more I went, I was able to run a little bit more. Now I can run like 3K. And then I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm going to die. I'm going to get to a point where I'm able to run about 5K a day. You know, like, you know, reasonable. I'm trying to be reasonable. I'm old. I'm 40, man. Yes. And it's the same with spiritual maturity. It's the same with spiritual maturity. Sometimes going to God is difficult. It is. Sometimes just going to God is difficult. You just don't want to. Have you ever felt that way? Like, man, I just don't want to. And sometimes it's because you sinned. Or it might, or it, you might have been doing nothing wrong. It might just be a test. But the question is, are you willing to press in? Are you willing to dig? Are you willing to contend? Starting to work out and run is easy because you have all of this motivation. Yeah, I'm going to get fit. Let's go. But at about week two, when you just don't feel like it, and you still do it, it's going to show what you're made of. It's when your body is telling me no, but you know that you have to do it. Every part of you is saying, what's the use? But even then you fight and you contend, you run. And sometimes it's in those, like, sometimes dull and humdrum, no motivation moments, those lackluster and sometimes hopeless and depressing moments that God wants to make gold in you. And it's those moments where overcoming helps us to grow in faith and maturity. It makes us stronger. It makes us wiser. It makes us more mature. At first, standing in faith in trial and difficulties is hard. It's difficult. That's why they call it difficulties. But the answer isn't to avoid it. But as we face trials and we go to God, we stand in faith, hope, and love. We stand in joy. And we're able to gain what God wants for us by persevering. It makes us stronger. It makes us steadfast, and we realize that we don't lack nothing. We realize that we lack nothing. Not we don't lack nothing. That's a double negative. We realize that we lack nothing. You know, the first time, like me and Mina, we started dating in 2011. That's when I was really training for this marathon. I was running a lot every day, and this was right before we were about to start dating. It was like literally a week before. Mina was like, oh, why don't we take our bikes and go hang out with, you know, Peter Jacob and some friends by this park, by the river. And it was like pretty close from our house. It was about 5 kilometers, about 6-7 kilometers there. And she rode her bike to my apartment. And I told her, you know what, I'm just going to run. And I'll just follow behind you. And she was like, are you serious? I was like, yeah. You remember that, honey? I don't know where she is. But I just started running, right? And as I was running, I realized, man, like, I can go for so long. Like, this is, I'm not fazed by this. I remember, like, halfway there, I was like, I can run faster than Mina can ride her bike. And we got there, and I remember just running around playing frisbee and all this stuff, and I remember just thinking, oh, I could just run back home. And it was just, it was like the moment I felt that in my body, it felt so liberating and freeing. I was like, man, I can do so much. And I felt, like, powerful. Like, man, I really can do so much. And it was like, there's a freeing that came. And as we face trials and difficulties and we continue to go to God and remain in a place of faith, not being led by fear and anxiety or offense, but we realize how liberating and freeing it is to remain in faith. You're going to realize that at one time when faith was so hard to do, like, oh, I don't want to endure this. When you get to a point where, like, standing in faith is like, wow, it's easy. And it becomes liberating. It becomes freeing. True faith and trust in Him through faith, we start to realize that we have everything we need. We lack nothing. And it comes from facing our trials in faith. And I hope for a time when standing on faith is not a challenge, but it's a joy. When you see a challenge, you don't go, oh, man, ugh. I still do that. But when you see a challenge, you're like, all right, this is a chance for my faith to rise. And God's going to prove me and Himself strong in me. Wow. James 1, it says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. He's saying, like, when you stand in faith, you're going to realize you lack nothing. As a matter of fact, you have everything. And you can do so much. And that's what I'm talking about today, spiritual maturity and strength. To see you mature in Christ, that is my hope. And I want to read to you Colossians 1:28 again. I read it earlier. It says, we proclaim, warning everyone, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. I love the ending of verse 29. It says, for I toil, struggling with all, whose energy? It says his energy. He's saying, I toil and I struggle using all his energy that he powerfully works within me. I realize your growth and maturity is not based on anything that I can produce, but it's his energy, it's his power. His power will do it. There's a power in you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that will bring strength and maturity into your life. And we read this in Ephesians 3. I want everybody to turn to Ephesians 3. If you have your Bible, please turn to Ephesians 3. And it shows me a picture of that power. To give you a little background, Ephesians is a little different from the other epistles or the letters that Paul wrote. In that it wasn't directly written to a church to discuss a certain problem that they had. Okay? When we read the other Paul's epistles, we see that he writes to address, to a certain church, he writes to address certain issues, to correct them and bring teaching. But Ephesians is directed to a more general audience in Ephesus. To Gentile believers living in this huge pagan metropolis, this pagan idolatrous city, where everyone worships this goddess named Diana. And they say that artists were getting so rich by just being able to reproduce an image of Diana. It's just a very pagan, idolatrous city. And Paul writes this letter as an encouragement to really stand firm. And like encouragements go, Paul includes two prayers in Ephesians. Okay? It's like he's encouraging them. He's like, I'm praying for you. The first one is in chapter 1. Verse 16, he gives thanks for them, prays for you to receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, to open your eyes, to be enlightened, to see the amazing, glorious riches of your inheritance, what you've been called to. It's about perceiving and understanding. So the first prayer he prays is like, I want you to be able to understand and know. Okay, perceive by the spirit of wisdom and revelation and understand and know. It's about knowing. And the second prayer, which is Ephesians 3, and that's the one I want to focus on today, it's about being and doing. And there's a lot that we can learn from Paul praying this prayer. As we read this prayer, it teaches us so much on how and the source of our spiritual strength and maturity. Strength and maturity comes from not just knowing. Okay, you guys, you have to know. But it doesn't just come from knowing, it comes from being, and it comes from doing. So let's read it together, starting from verse 14, Ephesians 3. It says, for this I'll read it out loud, just follow me. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length, the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's a powerful prayer. And he's praying it to the people in Ephesus. He's like, you know what? I want to encourage you. I know the city that you're living in is idolatrous. I know it's hard standing on your faith where you live, but I want to encourage you. Be strong. Stand firm. There are key things that I want to pull from this prayer. The first thing is, comes from verse 16. It says, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. He's saying, I want you to be strengthened. I want you to be strong. But how? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Within you is the Spirit of God. And with Him, there is a power. And how much of that power is within us? And it says, according to the riches of His glory. It says, according to, not out of the riches of His glory. That's a big difference here. Okay, if I'm a billionaire, say I'm like, who's a really rich guy right now? Bill Gates. Say I'm like a multi-billionaire. I have like $10 billion. And I give out of my riches, I can give you $20 and it would still be out of my riches. You understand? But if I give according to my riches, I would give you like $10 million. Because that would be in accordance to my riches. And what Paul is saying is that He gives you power by the Spirit according to His riches and in His glory. He's like, He's giving according to who He is. And it's not, I'm just going to give you a little bit of power. I'm not going to just give you like, oh, today you just deserve this much. No, He's going to give according to who He is. To do what? To give you glory or give Himself glory? It's for His glory. Yeah. And you got to understand the power at work within you is immense. It says, I'm going to read that later on, but it's immense. It's a power to give Him glory. It's according to the riches of His glory. And where does He give it? And Paul is saying, he prays that He will be strengthened in your inner being. So like the power of the Spirit of God, that is a power that can transform. It's a power and the Spirit that Christ had on this earth as He ministered. It's a power that He gives us to help us, to empower us and to strengthen us. That is in accordance to who He is. Okay? God, and for His riches of His glory, is where? He's saying, He prays it in your inner man. In the center of who you are. In your inner man, the part of you that can only truly be seen by God. At the center of who you are, your spirit man, that part of you that connects with God, that's where He's praying that we'll be strengthened. Why? Because if the heart of who you are knows that your strength comes from God, you will live radically different. If the center of who you are, in that place, you're strengthened to know that God is in you and is strengthening you, then the way that the rest of your body and your mind reacts is going to live radically different. 1 Timothy 4:7. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. He's like, work out your godliness. For while body training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. He's like, train, exercise, contend in faith in the center of who you are. That place where you connect with God, that is where your strength is going to come from. And you train by connecting with the Spirit. You train by understanding that Spirit that is in you. You contend. You're led by Him. You allow Him to lead you and guide you and equip you and empower you. When you do that, that's where the strength is going to start building. It doesn't build in your mind. It doesn't build in your hands. It builds in the center of who you are. That place. Do you know what I mean? It's that when you close your eyes, you're like, yes, that's God. You know what I mean? If you know it too. It's still in those moments where something crazy happens, you're like, oh God. And you're not saying, oh God, like, oh God. You're just like, oh God. That place, that's the center. That's your spirit, man. When you cry out to God, Abba Father, you know who cries out? You know who connects with God? That's your inner man. He's saying, be strengthened there. It's like working out your core. But it's really your core. work it out and be and know that when you contend with the Spirit and when you press in with the Spirit, that part of you is getting strong. And that's what Paul's praying. He says, he wants you to be spiritually strong, mature by connecting with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is within us, constantly speaking to us, leading us, guiding us. But so many times, we're too caught up in our emotions and our desires to hear Him. We're so caught up in what we're thinking. All of a sudden, we're like, oh Lord, I feel confused. I feel anxious and weak. But the answer is right there. We have to connect with the Spirit that He has deposited within us. Amen. And as we are led by Him, make decisions by Him, as we go to Him for counsel, through the Word of God, through prayer, He strengthens us in the core. This happens to me. All of a sudden, there's times where I feel like, oh, like I feel far from God, and I've just been like, vegging out or whatever. And these moments of crisis will come, and I'll like go to Him. I was like, oh Lord, why do I feel this way? And He'll tell me like, man, you haven't been connecting with me that's inside you. Because that's where your strength is going to come from. You can't expect it to come from your knowledge or your abilities. But it comes from me in you. Christ in you, hope of glory. 2 Peter 1, His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. In Ephesians 3, Paul is saying, I pray that divine power in you will be strengthened. That according to the glorious riches, the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. And it's when we yield to the Spirit and let Him control our inner being, we're going to start living powerfully, strengthened lives. That's when we're going to be mature. That's where maturity comes from. So many times we feel like maturity is like, I feel mature, I can do many things. No, maturity isn't what you do, but it's what is in you. And connecting with what is in you. There's time when Ethan's going to get to a place where he's going to be like, man, I want to do it. I want to go and run around and playground. And I'll be like, no, that's going to hurt you. Don't do that. Right? And his maturity is going to come as he hears my word. And he follows. He obeys. And in the same way with us, our maturity and our strength comes as we obey His word, His voice. That's when faith rises up and we're able to remain in peace and joy and hope and love. And Paul's saying, this is the strength I want for you. He's praying this to Ephesians, living in this crazy city. It's like, oh man, there's like so much idolatry. It's like Hongdae. We just moved our campus to Hongdae. The actual city, Hongdae, at night, it's crazy. People, there's clubs everywhere. And he's saying, you know what, in that place, be strengthened. In the center of who you are, because there sits the Holy Spirit to give you that strength. Next, he says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That word dwell in the Greek is katoikeo, and it means to dwell, to settle in, to inhabit. It also means to govern, and the connotation is that it's not temporary. It isn't once in a while. I go to Shinsegae a lot. Me and Mina, we go to Shinsegae a lot. But I don't dwell in Shinsegae. I don't inhabit Shinsegae. I dwell and I inhabit in my home. And Christ can't be a house guest in you. He needs to be a permanent resident. Not just a resident, but it says that one of the definitions is to govern. He needs to be a ruler. He needs to be your governor. When He dwells in you, He needs to start taking over. And he says what Paul is saying is part one is connected to part two, meaning if you do part one, part two will happen. If you're constantly being led by the Spirit in the Word of God in prayer and you connect with the Spirit in faith, the phrase Christ in you starts to become real. Jesus starts to dwell in you And not just dwell, but to rule in your life, and it becomes His lordship. True spiritual maturity comes as we bring every area of our lives in submission to God under His lordship. Every area He dwells and governs through the Spirit. Every area. And when we're saved, Christ is in us, but He doesn't really rule us, rule our lives. He might just be in a small room in your heart. And that's okay. When you first become a Christian, you might just be a small room in your heart, and that's okay. God doesn't expect you to, you know, because you've just become a Christian. You're learning about Him, but it doesn't mean you're not saved. And it's okay, but as the power of the Holy Spirit starts to strengthen us according to His glory, and you guys have to understand, it's power. It's not just doing things. It may seem like doing things. It may seem like you just being very honest. It may seem like you just living a life of integrity. It might seem like you just living a life of purity, but that is power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit running through you. And when that starts to happen, Jesus starts to come out of that small room and He starts to dwell in your house. He starts to dwell in your living room. He goes into your kitchen, makes some tea. He sits down in the living room. You know, He starts to make Himself at home. And it's in that place where you're able to start to giving Him control of the house. And He starts to is not just a guest, but He starts to own and rule who you are. And that's what He's saying, that Christ may dwell in you. He's not just like, come once in a while. Now I'll go to Todd's house, watch a movie. Hey, what's up? And then like, go home. No, that's not what Christ wants to do in you. That's not the definition of dwell here. To dwell means to inhabit and to rule, to govern. He's like, He wants to make your heart your home. Not just make it home, but He wants to govern there. He wants to rule there. And I want to ask you, does Jesus dwell in your heart? Or is it just on Sundays? Or is it just when you're at church? Or when you're with church people? Or does He just continue to dwell in your heart? Paul's saying, he prays that Christ, that Jesus, as you connect with the Spirit of God that is in you, that Jesus will make Himself at home in you. Not just make Himself at home, but to rule. Next, where does Paul go? He prays. His prayer leads to, so that you are rooted and grounded in love. He's praying for foundation. And that foundation being love, the love of God, and he uses the word rooted and grounded. Rooted, where does your nourishment come from? Where does your energy come from? What are you rooted into? Paul's praying that we will be rooted into God's love, His perfect love, His love that dries out all fear, His perfect love that gives us grace and salvation, that protects, that energizes, His perfect love that gives us joy. He's praying that we will be rooted in that. Not just rooted, that we will draw from that. When you have a plant and you grow, you put him in a pot, you gotta water it, or as it dies. Who knows that fact? You guys know that fact. It's pretty elementary, right? But that's what we need to do. We need to be rooted in His love and be continually reminded of His love. When you read the Word of God, it reminds us of His love. When we pray and we seek Him out, we tap into His love. That's why when we don't do some of these things, that's why sometimes it's so hard to love people at times. And it is for me too. I would go to work when I used to teach, I was like, man, it's so hard to love you at times. And I realized this because I haven't been loved. I haven't been in that place where I'm rooted into God's love. But he's like, be rooted into His love. And he also uses the word grounded. Grounded in His love. Where does your stability come from? What are you grounded into? Is it sand or on the rock of God's love? In moments of trouble, what makes you feel strong? What gives you foundation? Is it money? For a lot of people, it's money. Like right when some things happen, first thing they think about is their bank account. Is it your parents? Is it your job? Or is it the perfect love of God? Now, buildings in Busan, they're taller than Seoul. Have you noticed that? Because the biggest building in Seoul right now is it's called the Yuksan Building, and it's 63 floors. The buildings right there in I-Park is like 80-something. It's huge. They stopped building at 80. It was supposed to be 100-something floors, but I guess they ran out of money, and so they just had to stop. But they're tall, man. I used to work at Zenith. The building, you know, the crazy building? I used to work right there. We have a hot one there. And I would go there, and I would look up. And I'd like, man, these things are monstrous. They go, birds fly into them all the time and die. Because they see that reflection. It's like, oh, it's the ocean. And we would just walk in through the playground. Like, oh, dead bird. It's not because they're diseased. It's because these things are huge. It's like where birds usually fly. These buildings are huge. And the strength of the building isn't really in how tall it is, but the strength of the building is in its foundation. And Paul prays for them to be rooted and grounded in love. What is your foundation? When things get tough, what are you rooted into? What's going to give you stability? So many times, for me in the past, it was money. It was my job. I would feel like, oh. And then when my job would kind of like be on the line, I would get all shook up. Like, oh no, what's going on? When I would be low in my bank account, I'd be like, oh no. Because I felt like my stability comes from. But he's saying, where does your stability come from? I want you to be rooted in love of God. Because that is more, it's like it's so much more valuable than whatever amount that you have in your bank account. So what he's saying, rooted in love. And Paul prays for them to be rooted and grounded in love, but he doesn't end on being rooted and grounded. He prays, being rooted and grounded in love, may you have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. Surpasses knowledge. Not only rooted and grounded in love, but he wants you to search out his love. To see how wide, to see how long, to see how high and deep is his love. And it's funny, he says that we need strength for this. And I grew up in California. Anybody here grew up in California? I grew up in California. It might not look like it, but I used to surf when I was young. In my high school days, we had surf class. First and zero and first period. On Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we'd wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and we would go surfing. Zero to first period. So we would meet at the beach at 5:30 at Hermosa Beach, and we would surf for 2 hours, and then we would go home and shower, and we'd go home and start second period, a surf class. It was fun, you know? I was like, oh yeah, let's go surf. We had so much fun. But there were times when we would go out, and it's not like this. Like California waves, they're not that tall, but they were like days when they were really tall. And we would go out, and when we go out, we would have to go out really far. Like almost to the point where the pier ends. And there were times when I would be out there and I would feel, and usually when I was surfing, I would be able to like jump in the water and kind of go down and I could touch the ground. But there were times when I would go out and I would go in the water and I would try to dive and you can't touch the ground and you feel this, oh, like how deep is this? And there were times where I would go and I would actually untether myself and I would dive into the water just to see how deep it is. And there were times where I couldn't touch it and I would come back up and I would feel so small. I'd be like, oh my goodness. It's like you feel, you just get a piece of the vastness of the ocean. Yeah. Like that you can't touch the bottom. And what Paul is saying is like, I want you to experience that with God's love. Search it out, see how far it is and realize, man, there is no end. Go deep and go down there like, oh, how deep is your love, God? And you realize you can't tell, you're going to realize, wow, I am in the center of infinite love. And you're lost in his love. That's what Paul is praying for here. Paul's saying, do that with God. See how deep his love goes. Because you'll get lost in his love. And we will comprehend that his love surpasses our knowledge. We'll understand, wow. His love is beyond what I can even comprehend. And it's in that place where we find strength and maturity. He says we need strength to comprehend this. To get lost in His love, it's not easy. You don't just decide, I just want to get lost in His love. Because love is more than just a feeling. It's action. It's follow through. And it's maturity. You know, sometimes we treat God's love like a pond. We dip our feet in it and we're like, oh God, you love us so much. Have you ever, you go to a pond, you're like, oh yes, pond's great, yeah. We treat His love like that. It's like, oh God, you love us so much. And we go on doing our own thing. But He's saying, no, dive into His love and go deep. And when you do that, it's not easy. It takes energy. It takes strength. It takes maturity to go deep into His love. That's what He's saying. Have you met someone that is just in love with God? That every area of their lives, every situation, through the good and the bad, their minds are set on Christ. And when you look at somebody that lives like that, really lives like that, and they have testimonies of that in their lives, you realize that being like that is not easy. Being like that is not easy. You need strength. And although it's not easy, it's worth it because you're chasing after God. You're chasing after pure love. Being lost in His love. Now, Pastor Christian, I know he can seem mad choleric. He is. He's a super choleric guy. But man, he's someone that's really in love with God. And when I hear his story and when I connect with him, I realize, man, every area of his life is like running after God. And when you think about his past, man, when all of us were clubbing in college and high school and going out and partying, man, he was going to Bible study. He was leading people to Christ. And when I look at his life and the anointing that he carries and the authority that he carries and God just placing him in places of just power and authority, I realize, man, like he must go so deep with God. And it's because he does. And it's not easy to get there. When you look at people like Rodney Henderson, he's a friend of ours that comes from Kansas City. He would come and minister and he's old. He's like in his 50s. I'm not that much younger than him. I realize that. And he would come and he would minister so powerfully. And when you look at his love and you hear the stories that he shares and you see the love that he has for his family and you see just so much testimony around him, you realize, man, it's not easy to get there. And let me tell you, it's not easy. It's going to take work. It's going to take effort. It's going to take your strength. But when you get there, you're going to realize it's all worth it. And it takes strength and maturity. And that's what Paul is praying here. He's praying that we will be strengthened at the center of who we are. Center of who we are by the Spirit of God. That God will take over our lives. That we will search out His love to the point where we're like, man, I'm lost in His love. Where He completely envelops us. Paul writes and prays his prayer as an encouragement. And right before this, he says, so I ask you not to lose heart over what I'm suffering for you, which is your glory. Paul's in prison writing this. And he's like, you know what? Don't lose heart. He's like, I'm going to encourage you. I know that I'm here in prison and it's not fun. And I know you guys are discouraged that I'm in here. But he's saying, don't lose heart. He's telling them that life will not always go your way. And it's true. Even as a Christian, Jesus promises that life will not always go your way. It's not always going to be rainbows and unicorns in your life. It's not always going to be joy. You know, there's going to be times of suffering. God promises that to us. And that's where we need our spiritual strength. That's why Paul prays this prayer to the believers in Ephesus for spiritual strength. But ultimately, it's for more of Jesus. He prays that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It's not to know his fullness. He doesn't say to know so that you can know the fullness of God, because that's impossible. It's not about having God and taking God and knowing God, like experiencing God, but it's the opposite. It's like taking a bottle and putting it into the ocean, and slowly that ocean fills the bottle inside and out, and the ocean is all around it, and that's what it's saying, being filled with the fullness of God. It's not about taking God and trying to put a little bit in us. It's like submerging ourselves into the ocean and being filled with the fullness of who He is. We can't contain God. We are contained in God. Do you guys understand that? And sometimes we try to apply God to certain situations in our lives. It's like, oh, this, I want to apply God, but it's not about applying God. It's about God in you facing the world. Connecting with the world. And that is what Paul is praying. It's about maturity. He's praying that you will, man, take this seriously and start to really go deep and know, and there's nothing that this world's going to throw at you that's going to crush you, because it's God in you. And he closes his prayer with this amazing doxology. It's an expression of praise. It's filled with so much encouragement. And I'm going to read this here. It says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." He says, far more abundantly than all. It's like saying very, 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 very. It's like more, but it's far more. It's like far more abundantly. It's far more abundantly above all. It's like he's saying more and more than more than more. He's like adding, like, he's saying that it's so much greater. He can and will do so much more. And it's according to what? According to our strength? No, according to the power at work within us, which is God. He's like, be filled with him and led by him and live in his fullness, because he will do so much more. So much more. More and more. Very, 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 very much more than you can ever imagine. And I'm like in my late 30s, and I'm realizing this. That when I contend for more of him in me, he will do very, 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 very much more. I never imagined being, I'm really like amazed. I'm kind of like confused at what I'm going to be at in like 20 years from now. And it's not because I'm special. It's because I'm just following God and going after him. And you guys are young, or some of you guys are young. Most of you guys are young. Experience this now. Know this now. Look what he says. Far more abundantly than all that you can even imagine God can do in you. But he's saying it's not easy. We need to contend. It's going to take strength. It's going to take maturity. What did Paul say? He says, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." And we have, when we contend, it comes from the strength of the Lord that is in us. When you face trials and you go to God, yes, it seems difficult, but you have to understand it's the strength of the Lord. It's the power of God at work in you. That's what I am praying, even as a pastor. That's what I hope for you, that you will be able to be mature in Christ and to be able to go to God and get lost in God and be filled with the fullness of God, so that this world, you will live in this world with power, maturity, and strength. Let's close. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you and we worship you and we praise you that you do live in us. But it's not us, you living in us, it's us in you. that you strengthen us by your Spirit at the center of who we are. That as we go to you, and as we stand in faith, you strengthen us. You encourage us. You give us strength. You give us power. You mature us. That whatever we face in this world, we'll realize that there's nothing that we can't do. We lack nothing. We find the freedom of being in faith. We find the joy of being able to stand in faith. To know that we have everything in you. And know that we lack nothing. We love you, God. And we pray, we want more of you. More of you. Help us to fight and go after more of you. Oh God, we love you so much and we worship you. Help us to get lost in your love. Help us to get lost in your love. To see how far and how wide and how high and how deep is your love for us. We want that, Lord. And we thank you, God. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand up. Let's close with this.